tonight. Proverbs chapter number in your Bibles, book of Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. And we're going to read here together and continue in our study through the book of Proverbs. And we have made it now to chapter number 4. And look forward to giving you what the Lord has given me for you tonight. The Bible says in verse number 1, it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. Sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." In verse number 23, I'll take my text. It says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We'll continue through the study of Proverbs and look tonight on the subject of keep thy heart. Our Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would please bless the reading of your word. God, I pray that you would please fill me with your power and use the message to be a help to your people tonight. Lord, I yield myself to you. And Lord, in and of myself, I will fail you if I preach. And so, Lord, I need your touch. I need your help. And so, Lord, I pray that you would please open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things. And God, that we would not just be hearers of your word tonight, but doers also. God, would you please help us to take heed to your word tonight. And not just hear it, but God, I pray that you help us to heed it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we continue through our study of the book of Proverbs, we are calling it Pillars from Proverbs. And in chapter number 1, in chapter number 2, and in chapter number 3, Solomon, the wise Solomon, is having a conversation with his son, and he is striving to capture the heart of his son, and he's telling him several different truths about life. He tells him in chapter number 1, the overwhelming principle was, son, you need to choose your friends wisely, and that's important that we choose our friends wisely. And then in chapter number 2, he tells him and emphasizes that he can be wise, that wisdom is not something just for the gray head, but anyone can have wisdom if they'll ask God, because he gives it to all men liberally. He doesn't abrade it not. He'll give it if you ask him for wisdom. And then in chapter number 3, he continues the conversation with his son, and he stresses to him in verses 5 and 6 that the will of God is not a mystery. You can know the will of God for your life if you'll trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, then he'll direct your paths. And now as we come to chapter number 4, the chapter begins in different language as it has in the other chapters. Instead of him saying, my son, he says, hear ye children. in the first several chapters of the book of Proverbs, it's Solomon. We can see the heart of Solomon towards his son. It's a heart of love and a heart of loyalty, a heart of listening that's laced with the deep desire for his son to hear his words. And more than just hear his words, he wanted his son, he needed his son to heed his words. Boy, that's important, isn't it? There's a difference between hearing and heeding. There's a difference between hearing what someone's got to say and actually listening to what they're saying. How many times do we hear the Word of God preached? A preacher stands behind this pulpit, it thunders aloud, preaches the Word of God, and we may hear it one ear, but it goes out the other, and we don't actually heed what the Word of God is saying and apply the truths of it to our life. Solomon didn't want that for his son. He wanted him to hear his words, but heed the words of his mouth. Why? Because it would teach him in the way that he was supposed to go. And he says something unique here in verse number 23. He says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I want to give you several truths about this chapter and then emphasize on verse number 23 tonight. Notice, first of all, notice the importance of learning. In verses 1 down through verse number 9, Solomon is teaching his son. And he says in verse number 1, he says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father." He's talking to his son, and I almost picture it as if Solomon is just sitting on the porch and he's having a heart-to-heart relationship with his children. He says, "Hey, listen, I've taught you good doctrine. I've taught you the truth about life. I'm not just telling you something that sounds good, but I'm telling you what you need to hear." And he says, "I've taught you good doctrine." Another word for doctrine is truth or teachings. And he's saying, "I'm telling you what you need to hear." And that's important for us to hear tonight. He says, it's important for you to always appreciate wisdom, always appreciate understanding, never forget it, neither decline the words from my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. He said, it's important for you to always be learning. It's important for us to remember as well. Listen, if you've arrived in your learning and you think you know it all, can I just say this? Life will be hard for you. Life will be hard for you. This week we sat in the church growth conference and sat in different sessions. And yesterday morning, Brother Fugit stood behind his pulpit to us pastors that were there and just gave us practical truths that he has learned over 33 years that he was able to impart to a young pastor like me that would help. He gave me 30 things that I wrote down, 30 practical things from the time he writes or pulls in a parking lot of the church that he's looking for. Man, that was good. I do a lot of them, but there were several things on there that I'm thinking, I never thought about that. 30 practical things. What was that? What was the purpose of going to something like that? For me to learn so that I can be better servant of the Lord and ultimately a better pastor for you. Listen, it's important that we always are learning. I think it was Jack Hiles that said this, "All men are my teachers." Listen, it's important. There is something that we can learn from everybody. We can either learn what to do, or we can learn what not to do. And so Solomon, he teaches his son, listen, the importance of learning. We ought to always be seeing in our ability to learn. He said you ought to learn to have character. Listen, character is important. You ought to learn to have character. You ought to learn to have compassion toward others. You ought to learn to have concern for others. You ought to learn to have basic conduct. You ought to learn to appreciate correction. There were several things that Solomon's teaching his son in this book, and he was ultimately saying, son, understand the importance of learning. But number two, he talked about the intersections of life. In verses 10 down through verse number 19, he's teaching him that life is going to bring you at an intersection. An intersection is a place where two or more things meet and a decision has to be made. It's a T in the road. You can't go any further straight. You got to turn right or you got to turn left. And he said, there's two ways that you can go. He said in verse number 14, he says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men." So that's one direction. And then in verse number 18, he says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day." He says you can either go down the path of the wicked or you can go down the path of the just. But notice what he says in verse number 11. He says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom and I have led thee in right paths." He says, I've already told you which way to go. He says, you ought to follow my commands. And listen, we have a perfect Bible, the Word of God, that teaches us how we are to live our lives, how we are to conduct ourselves, how we are to be the type of Christian that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the way to go. We just have to choose to follow it. We have to follow the Word of God, the path of the wicked or the path of the just. There's intersection. Life is going to always bring a person to an intersection. And you have to choose the path of the wicked or the path of the just. Look at verse number 15. He says this about the path of the wicked. He says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. And those are strong words. And I think what he's ultimately saying was this. Don't even think about going that direction, son. Don't even think about it. The grass is not greener on the other side. It is not better. And you ought to continue in the right path. Listen, this preaching is as old as it gets. There's a right way to live and there's a wrong way to live. And it comes down to an individual decision of which way you'll go. We know from the Word of God which paths we are to ask for. Jeremiah 6:16, it says, thus saith the Lord, the ways, see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. That's the path that we ought to seek for. Listen, if the old paths will get us where we are headed, where we want to go, what's the purpose of looking for a new path? Listen, Solomon says, I've already trotted the way. I've already paved the path that you just have to follow in my footsteps. The wisest, richest man that ever lived, he says, this is the way you need to go. Just follow in the right paths. In church, we've been given a Bible. We've been taught the right paths. Listen, if you've been in a church any amount of time of your life, you know right versus wrong. But we have to choose which way we're going to go. And if the old paths will get me where I want to go, there's no reason to find another path. Listen, Bible preaching still works. Listen, good godly music, singing from the hymns still works. Listen, soul winning still works. Biblical separation is still a Bible doctrine. And if the old paths will get me where I want to go, there's no reason to look for a new path. And so he talks about the intersections of life. He talks about the importance of learning. But then he says this. He says there's an inspection that is listed. If verse number 20 down through verse number 27, Solomon goes on to explain to his children that there's a checklist, if you will, that should follow you, that you should check every single day of your life. In verse number 23, he tells him that you need to secure your heart. In verse number 24, he says you need to shut your mouth. Well, that'd be good to learn, wouldn't it? Verse number 25, he says you need to set your eyes. In verse number 26, he says you need to study your steps. In verse number 27, he says you need to stay away from evil. There's a checklist that's here, an inspection. And Solomon says, every single day, son, you need to observe your life. You need to examine your life. You can't worry about what everybody else is doing. You have to look at your life. And you have to see where you line up with this. How's your heart? How's your mouth? Where's your eyes looking? Where's your steps? Are you avoiding evil like the plague? And listen, that ought to be a prayer that we pray every single day of our life. Lord, guard my mind that I don't think on something that's evil. Guard my eyes, Lord, that I don't see and dwell something that would not bring glory to your name. God, guard my mouth and guard my ears and guard my heart and my hands and my feet. God, would you protect me from evil? Listen, that's a prayer that we should be praying. But I believe the overwhelming thing that Solomon was trying to teach his children here was this. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me give you several things about this one verse. Number one, notice that the heart, you have to understand its issues. You have to understand its issues. He says, for out of it are the issues of life. Ultimately, I believe what Solomon's telling us here is all the issues of life will flow from your heart. He's not speaking about your literal beating heart. Rather, he's talking about your inner being, your emotions, your mind, your very soul, the disposition of your mind. He says to keep thy heart with all diligence. That word keep is a defensive term. We see it in the Garden of Eden where God told Adam to keep and dress the garden. What does that mean? That means he was to defend, to protect, to guard it, to keep it from evil. He says the reason we're to guard it and the reason we are to protect it is because all of the issues of life will stem from your heart. Will stem from your heart. It's because all issues, whether good or bad, will come from your heart. And ultimately, you know what he's saying? Your heart's got issues. Don't be so quick to give your heart away, son. You ought to protect your heart. Not just protect it, but protect it with all thy might, with all thy diligence. Protect your heart. Don't be so quick to give it away. Don't be so quick to open it up unless it's to God. And then may I say to the younger ones in there, to your mom and dad. Open your heart. You ought to give your heart to your mom and dad as a young teenager. I've preached this to our teenagers for years. Give your heart to your mom and dad and let them have veto power in your life. Be a wise thing to do as a young person. He said, it's important that you keep your heart, and you must understand that it has issues. Understand its issues. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you have to understand your heart has issues. But then he says this, you have to understand its infrastructure. He says in verse number 24, look at this. He says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. The word infrastructure, it's a big word that literally means to make up of something. And so the makeup of our heart, what is that? We know we're supposed to keep our heart, but how do we do that? Well, the word of God continues on in verse number 24, 25, and 26 with key practical things to help us protect our heart. And Solomon speaks to his children and he tells them to keep their heart with all diligence. And then he addresses on how to do that. He says there's three things you got to consider. There's one you got to put away, something you got to put in place, and then something you've got to ponder on. Notice, first of all, we are to put away a froward mouth and perverse lips. You see that? Look at verse number 24 again. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. You realize our mouth, our tongue, is one of the greatest causes of problems in our life. Right? It'll cause problems in your individual life. It'll cause problems in a church. It'll cause problems in your family. If you can't put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips. Listen, our mouth can be used for good, but it can also be used for evil. And the sad fact of the matter is many times we're guilty of using it for the evil far too much. Listen, gossip don't get preached on like it ought to, but it's a problem. It's a problem in churches. It's a problem in families. It's a problem in fundamentalism. Gossip. Just perverse lips, froward mouth. And Solomon says, children, if you're going to keep your heart, if you're going to protect your heart, put that away from you. What's that verse in the book of James? The tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and is set on fire the course of nature. It'll set on fire of hell. Well, it's a powerful thing, your tongue. You can use it for good or you can use it for evil. You've heard it said before that God's given you two ears and one mouth. Why? Because you should be listening twice as much as you speak. And can I say, just because you may not be speaking with your physical mouth, this right here is still speaking. Right? It's still speaking. And there's a whole lot of ignorance that's being spoken with the thumbs. We're to put away a froward mouth and perverse lips. So there's something to put away, but then he says we ought to put in place. We're to put in place eyes that know where to look and know where not to look. Look at verse number 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Jeremiah said that mine eye affects my heart, and we love that phrase when it comes to missions, trips, and conferences, and I agree with that. However, I believe the application could be there as well, that what we see also affects our heart. It affects our heart. What we see lives inside of our mind. Our eyes are tiny little cameras that take crystal clear pictures, and our mind is a supercomputer that can file in, and it never really seems to run out of storage. What we see affects our heart. That's why, I preached on this just Sunday night, that's why it's in place perimeters for your eyes. Listen, there are times you can't prevent from seeing something inappropriate, but you can always prevent from looking at something inappropriate. There's a difference. Sometimes something, man, flashes by and you can't help it and you're like, oh man. But there's a difference between looking. Right? Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, shamalala kalabara. All right, are we good? I'm talking about the... I'm going to keep on preaching. Y'all hear me all right? All right, good. And so anyway, where we were at, we got to put away our eyes. Listen, the devil has a sound system. Man, no track. Nothing. Look, talking in church will get me sidetracked. Ladies, you waving your fan will get me sidetracked. And the sound system will get me sidetracked. What a blessing. But we got to put our eyes in place and know where to look and know where not to look. But then he says that there's something that we have to ponder. Look at verse number 26. He says, ponder the path of thy feet. We got to ponder our steps. And I believe what Solomon's ultimately teaching his children here is the importance of pondering his steps. Think before you act. Think before you act. There are some places, there are some people that we don't need to be around. There's some scenarios you don't need to find yourself in. And listen, what he's saying here by pondering, he's saying just simply think before you act, beware of the surroundings that you're in, and see if you need to step out of a situation. Isn't that what Joseph did? I mean, he found himself in a situation that he didn't need to be in. A situation that he found himself with Potiphar's wife, and he's like, this is wrong, foul here, and he fled. He ran as fast as he could and got out of the situation. But sadly, what we do many times is we get in those situations and we hang out there for a while. Listen, you should never be alone. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. You should never be alone with the opposite sex. Amen. This is good for teenagers. This is good for adults. You should never be alone with the opposite sex. Listen, if you ever need to talk to me in private, ladies, that's okay, but my wife will be present. Or one of these good men that will be present with me. It's just the fact we have to do this. Listen, I want to be in this thing, as I said Sunday night, for the long haul. I want to celebrate that 71 years of marriage like the Twists. And the only way that's going to happen is if I don't put myself in those sticky situations. You should never stay in the presence of evil. What do I mean by that? Alcohol. Get out of that situation. You go out to eat with somebody and they order it, guess what? Early meal. Bring the check. It's over. Right. Yeah. Alcohol, drugs, smoking, vaping, smoking weed, whatever you want to do these days. If you're in that situation, get out of it. Amen. It's not good for the child of God. You shouldn't stay in the conversation that's filled with vulgar, dirty talk. That's where you get out of that situation. He says, ponder your steps. Beware of your surroundings and see if you need to get out of that situation. You got to have the knowledge to flee. And then notice the last thing tonight. He said to understand its infrastructure, understand its issues, but notice number three, understand its intention. He said in verse number 26, he says, ponder the paths of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Listen, the heart is guided by you. What you do, where you put yourself, what you say yes to, what you say no to, what friends you surround yourself with, what influences you allow in your life, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you partake in, your heart is guided. You get to decide. It's really that simple. It's up to you. The choice is yours. If you fail to keep it with all diligence, your heart will walk through every evil door you allow it opened. He said, let all thy ways be established. Remove thy foot from evil. You know what our world likes to say? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. But the Bible says your heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? So I'm not saying to follow your heart. I'm saying to keep your heart. That's what God said. He said, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Rather than following your heart, you need to keep it, protect it from evil. And ultimately, when you do that, it's going to keep you from a lot of evil. Solomon, he's just talking to his children. He says, oh man, it's... And any of you older parents or grandparents could probably relate even more so to Solomon than I could. You have limited time, man. You want to give them everything you can. And he's just overloading his children. He just comes to him and finally says, look, you've got to keep your heart with all diligence because out of it are the issues of life. And so I ask you tonight, First Baptist Church, to examine your life. Examine your heart. Maybe you need to address your mouth. Maybe you need to address your eyes. Maybe you need to address your ears, your steps, or your very heart. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening tonight.